You are listening to Sunday Special Edition of English Evening on China Business Radio. And now it's time for Advanced English. Let's have a listen.
Hello, listeners. Welcome to Advanced Studio Classroom. This is Bill Quinn, and we are talking about network. This is the second day of our article, The Networking Balancing Act, and I'm back for day two. That's Naomi Bees-Hibble.
Well, it's great to be back. I think that the idea in this article is that we need to really treat networking as a skill instead of just as something that happens.
Right. It's got to be a planned activity. There's got to be a strategy to it. So, okay, also back for day two of this article is my schmoozing expert, Brandon Bryant. Hi, Brandon.
Hi,
are you
Bill.
A good schmoozer?
Actually, Bill, I'm probably not the best schmoozer. I didn't say it so well that
you
time.
You did so
schmoozer.
Well yesterday.
Oh, man, I lost it.
Okay. Today you've lost it. So, anyways, have you ever done any schmoozing?
Maybe a little, but, you know, I haven't really been in, like, the, I guess, official, you know, office workplace for a very long time. So I have some learning to do there. Maybe you can teach me, Bill.
Oh, I can, yeah, teach you all about it. But, you mentioned office, and my background was in sales and marketing. Of course, we had, I think my entire job was schmoozing. So from the moment I got up in the morning till I went to bed at night, my entire day was all about schmoozing. But it's not really necessary that you be in business or sales or marketing, right? For instance,
right.
Think of, you know, your background. You can use schmoozing in whatever it is, right?
That's right, wherever you are. Because, you know, we always have these relationships, and we can always use those for can be helpful for work, but I mean, you don't want to use them in such a way that you're just using it for work.
Right.
So there's like we talk about the balancing act. I think that's part of it too, because you don't want to use people.
Right.
So you want to be careful about that.
Okay. Yeah. It takes place everywhere as far as the schmoozing and network. So networking. And also joining us is Winnie Shea. Hi, Winnie.
Hi, Bill. Hello, listeners.
Okay, so I asked Brandon about schmoozing and networking. Mm-hmm. Have you ever done any of that in your career?
Maybe a little bit. I come from a teaching background, and mm-hmm. I've seen other people do it well. So,
right.
I mean, it's something that I want to learn. But something from yesterday's article that I really enjoyed, and I think this is one of the key points, too, that you have to choose to be selective
mm-hmm.
about the people you talk to, meaning making very specific choices.
Right.
And also, you mentioned yesterday, Bill, that it's about the quality of these
yeah.
relationships rather than just the quantity. So
right.
that was a really good idea that I got from
okay.
that.
Okay. Good point, Winnie. And yes, you have to be selective. In fact, that's exactly what our feature talks about today.
Hi, Sandra. How are things going?
Not good, James. Ever since I lost my job when the bank closed, it's been tough.
Yes, it's not easy finding a good job in a down economy. Have you been looking?
Have I been looking? That's all I've been doing, looking for a new job. I read all the want ads in the newspaper, search dozens of sites on the internet, send resumes, but nothing's happened yet.
Have you done any networking?
Have I done any networking? I spend so much time networking that I don't have time for anything else. Every night I go out and mingle with different groups of people, but nothing happens.
Every night? And you haven't gotten any referrals yet?
Not one. Monday night, I met with my college association. Tuesday night, I go to a meditation meeting. I joined a bowling league on Wednesday night. Thursday night, I touch base with the basketball league. And Friday night is spent volunteering at the library.
I think I see the problem, Sandra. You're a banker, right?
Yes, I am. But it just seems like nothing is available now.
You don't know that, and the reason is you're not cultivating any relationships with people in the banking industry. You're spending too much time in unrelated activities.
Maybe you're right, James. I have a lot of camaraderie with my groups, but I don't meet any bankers. What do you suggest?
You need to initiate contact with organizations that bankers belong to. Have you checked out what activities are available with these groups?
Well, not really. I'm just not comfortable schmoozing with people. There's just a lot of politics involved, and I don't like to play those games.
It's not easy, I know, but it's something you have to do if you want a good job.
Okay, I'll focus my energies on things more related to my field. Thanks, James.
Okay, well, there was a great example of a young lady who was spending her time running all over town, meeting lots of people who really didn't fit in with what her career goals were and what her strategic goals were. And, in fact, we learn about that from this John Remsen, a legal marketing specialist that we finished up yesterday with. He talks about knowing what you want to catch, kind of like being somebody out on the hunt looking for a big catch, right, Naomi?
Mm-hmm, that's right. We talked about that yesterday.
Okay.
Catching the right business contacts. Today, on page 19, at the top, we begin saying that Remsen tells his clients to really be proactive. Brandon used that word yesterday, and I like that. Proactive, meaning you go ahead and take a step in the right direction. He tells his clients to make a list of 15 people they want to meet or get to know better. I thought, wow, that's very practical.
Okay.
So, you know, 15 people.
Okay. Well, and in fact, this is something that we had talked about during one of our breaks. Winnie had brought up, where do you meet these people? I don't even know where they hang out. Well, let's go to our reading, and Remsen will help us understand that.
Remsen tells his clients to make a list of 15 people they want to meet or get to know better and figure out where those people hang out. Once you meet them, he advises, stay on their radar screen. Doing that requires touching base with them at least once a quarter, he says. To foster relationship building, Remsen advises going beyond membership events or a random lunch meeting. Distinguish yourself by being actively involved. Becoming program coordinator or membership chair will put you in positions to meet people that could hire you or refer business to you. He cautions that this takes a time commitment. You are trying to cultivate relationships where people trust you. You can't rush that.
Well, Naomi, as you had mentioned before the reading, Remsen suggests that people make a list of 15 people there. I really like this. This is really, really specific, and that's what you need to be. When it comes to something like network, you have to be extremely specific. You need to say who exactly, write down their name, right?
Right, but again, here, it's easy to get out of your league a little bit. I mean, if I write down that I want to meet Donald Trump and Oprah and, you know, the president, well, maybe that's not the most practical thing. So when it comes to writing down these names, think practically, and maybe you won't know this person's name yet. Maybe you'll say,
right,
oh, I want to meet someone who works at this company, and
right,
that's the name.
Right. Now, you might want to see me. You may not know their name, but you might want to write down, I need to meet the IT department director at XYZ company.
Right.
I don't know that person's name, but that is the person I need to meet.
Mm-hmm.
So, and that's your first step. Now you know who to meet. Now you got to figure out how to meet them. So, and then what you got to do is figure out where those people hang out. I see in line 6, hang out. Brandon, what's that mean, hang out?
This means where are these people? Where do they kind of sit down and have lunch, or where do they kind of just go to talk with other people and hang out with other people and be around other people?
Okay, so you have to find out, maybe they might belong to organizations. What organizations do you think they might belong to? Who might know them? So you might not meet them initially, but you might want to talk with people who are in the same industry, and then you can ask about them. Say, well, do you know so-and-so over at XYZ company? That you have to talk to people. And then maybe if you are lucky enough, we find out they're in line, looks like 7 and 8. Once you do meet them, what does Remsen advise, Winnie?
He advises that you stay on their radar screen, and radar screen is just another way of saying you want to be seen by them. So where they may, you want to be where they might have a chance to talk to you or see you or have contacts with you.
Okay. And Naomi, you had explained that to Winnie during our break, maybe in a good example our listeners might understand as far as like airplanes and things, right?
Sure. Actually, that was Brandon's thought when you're talking about people who, air traffic controllers,
right,
who have like a screen of what's on the radar in a certain area, or the pilot of a plane has a screen in his plane of what's within a certain space of where they are. And so these leaders in business or these different business people, or they'll have this kind of awareness of what's going on around them that might not include you,
right,
because they don't really know you. So how do you make sure that they remember who you are?
Right. Yeah. How do I do that, Brandon? Does it help me out there in line 8?
Yes, it does, Bill. It says doing that requires touching base with them at least once a quarter. And again, here, touching base is just simply to talk to someone in order to find out how they are or what they think about something. So again, that's a big part of networking, is touching base with people and talking with them and helping your relationship to grow.
How can I touch base? Any ideas? How do I touch base? Do I drive over to their house, knock on their door?
Oh, please, no.
No?
I think an important thing to think about, again, is where do these people hang out?
Mm-hmm.
Maybe if there's certain events, certain business lunches, or maybe New Year parties that you know you'll be able to go to and they'll be there as well,
right,
then go.
Winnie?
I think a lot of sports teams or even sports clubs are good events. I hear lots of people talk about going to play golf and inviting,
right,
having business contacts there. Or even if it's as simple as where they send their kids for camp or going to sporting events with their children. So those are all opportunities where you can make contacts and talk to people.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, you know, just having lunch with someone is great too when you have the time to do it. It doesn't have to be that often. Here they say once a quarter.
Right, once a quarter being about every 3 months. Now, further, Remsen advises Brandon.
Well, he says to foster relationship building, which means to kind of advance that relationship or to nurture that relationship. And then he advises going beyond membership events or random lunch meetings. So maybe take it a step further. Maybe be a little more proactive.
Right. And keep in mind that you need a reason. You need a decent reason for contacting people, and whether it's, you know, you walk up to them and talk to them at a community gathering or at some organization, you have a reason, have something to talk to them about. For instance, if I go to maybe the Computer Association meeting and I want to meet Winnie, and maybe I met her 3 months ago and I see her, well, I'm going to walk up and talk to her. I need more than, hey, how are you doing?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I need more than that. I need to ask her something industry-related.
But this,
right,
does take time and energy. He,
mm-hmm,
he says, distinguish yourself. In other words, set yourself apart from other people. Make yourself stand out by becoming actively involved.
Right.
Now, that can mean a lot of different things, and it can be hard to do. But basically, if you are in charge of doing something, it gives you a good reason to be in touch with people.
Right.
Just an example, I helped organize a fundraising party for some orphanages,
mm-hmm,
in the area a few months ago. And even though this was something I wanted to do, it was fun to do it, the fact is that it also gave me a lot of opportunities to talk with different people, to call different people and say, hey, would you be interested in helping out? And so the more involved you are, the more excuses you have to maintain those contacts.
Right. This is a great example that you give, Naomi. And in fact, you know, people ask, or maybe they think a lot of times, why should I volunteer for something, right? I'm so busy. I don't have time for anything. But we see in line 13, that next sentence actually explains why we should do stuff like that.
It says becoming program coordinator or membership chair will put you in positions to meet people that could hire you or refer business to you. So it can be helpful to become, you know, in charge of something.
Right. So if you're in charge of something, you need to contact people, and it's also a good way to establish your reputation. Well, this person is responsible They know how to communicate. So this is something where people, you know, you have to do a good job with it. Don't just kind of go through the motions, right?
Right. And if you don't have time, then don't do it. But like we learned yesterday, time is money in this case, and spending time building those relationships can be, you know, profitable for you. And so maybe you can become the membership chair, but maybe you can just offer to take over coordination of just one event a year, and you'll already be in a position where you have that opportunity to connect.
Right. Well, Remsen does caution that this takes a time commitment, as you mentioned, Naomi. And how do we finish that paragraph, Winnie?
He says that you are trying to cultivate relationships where people trust you, and you can't rush that.
Okay.
Cultivate in this sentence, it means to make a special effort to establish and develop relationship. I can imagine just a plant, and it's just starting to grow. And in order for it to blossom or to grow, you need to really take care of it. And I think the same goes for relationships. It's not just a one-time thing where you pass along a business card, but you really have to build that trust, get to know that person.
Right. Yeah, you definitely can't rush it. And if you do rush it, people pick up on that.
Yes.
That's very obvious
when
you try and rush it. All right, let's finish our reading for today.
Shift your thinking. Professional networker Jeff Meschel, who has more than 5,000 names in his contact list, argues that effective schmoozing can be done with a few existing acquaintances in various businesses. He suggests getting together with a small group once a month. Make a shift in the way you think. When you meet people, you are not only going to initiate your agenda, but help the others in the group with limited time to network. Attorney Fitzgerald went that route. She joined a professional resource group of 10 that meets for 1 hour midday twice a month. The idea is to refer each other business, she says. What's the goal? Of course, the most time-efficient way to network varies by jobs and purpose. Do you want to make career connections within your profession, win new business, or gain name recognition?
Okay, listeners, we are on page 19, Bill Quinn, with Brandon Bryan, Naomi Bisabel, and Winnie Shea, The Networking Balancing Act. We're on our second reading there in the first column on page 19, Shift Your Thinking. I like that title of that section right there, Naomi, Shift Your Thinking.
The idea is that we're used to thinking in a certain way about how business works and how networking works, but here we need to make a bit of a shift. And again, this reminds me of the Asian idea of guanxi, you know, and how a lot of those principles are useful, but you need to make a bit of a shift and really try to make it work for your business in the best way possible.
Okay. So we hear from somebody right there in the beginning of that reading. Who do we hear from, Winnie?
We hear from professional networker Jeff Meschel, who has more than 5,000 names in his contact list.
Wow.
5,000, that's a lot right there. And he argues that effective schmoozing can be done with few existing acquaintances in various businesses.
Okay, well, I like that title of professional networker. As far as his career, I'm just picturing a guy who's sitting around talking all day to lots and lots of people.
Yeah.
But in a way, this sentence is kind of a contradiction, because he has more than 5,000 names in his contact list, but he does argue, or he gives us some practical advice, Brandon.
Yeah, he says that effective schmoozing can be done with just a few existing acquaintances. So although he has 5,000 names, he says that maybe he only needs to use a few of them. And so this is being effective for him.
Okay.
Well, basically, remember that this guy is a professional networker. This is his whole job, is being in touch with people. He can spend all day writing emails, making phone calls, going to business lunches, you name it. For most of us, our days just don't work that way. For most of us, we can maybe set aside 10 minutes a day, maybe one lunch a week. And so he's saying, it's okay, you don't all have to be like me. I do this as a full-time job.
Right.
You might just have, you know, 7 or 8 contacts. That's okay. Use them.
Right. And actually, that's a really good point for everybody to understand. You're much better off having, like Naomi said, 7 or 8 really good, strong contacts. You don't want to meet everybody in the city. Don't try doing
Maybe
that.
Maybe you think you do.
But just work on making 7 or 8 relationships really strong.
You know, I always think about this being on online networking sites, just on a personal level. If you're on a site like Facebook, you know, some people have 100 friends, some people have 1,000.
Right.
But the fact is that if you have 1,000 friends, you probably don't talk to all of them. And is it really necessary? You know, you don't have to focus all this energy on these people that you hardly know and don't really care about that much. You know, why not focus your energy on the people that are really important?
Right. They're merely acquaintances, mm-hmm. That word we see in the last sentence there. Acquaintances, many of our listeners ask us what's the difference, an acquaintance or friend. Acquaintance is somebody, maybe we know who they are, we know their name, they really are not a friend. They're not somebody who's close. And it's okay. We all have acquaintances. We can't know everybody.
Right,
as
and there's nothing wrong with that. You know,
yeah.
I think sometimes we feel pressure to be really in close connection with everyone we meet. It's not necessary, you know, especially when it comes to business.
Yeah.
So I like Meshel's suggestion, getting together with a small group once a month. Once a month is a commitment most of us can make.
I really do like that suggestion. I think it's a great idea. So he suggests this small group once a month. You make a shift in the way you think. And what is that quote that he has there?
Well, he says, when you meet people, you are not only going to initiate your agenda, but help the others in the group. Initiate means you're taking the lead in starting something, or you are trying to show other people what you want or what you have. But I really like what he says, because it's not just about what you can get, but it's about helping others and helping them get what they need as well.
Okay. Well, there's a lot in this. That's a great point. You have to help others, because if you're just there looking for your own, your own results, you're probably not going to last in the group very long, right? Because if you're not delivering stuff for other people, why do they need you, right? It's going to quickly, they're going to quickly say, well, why, you know, why, we don't need Brandon. All he wants is stuff from us. He's got to deliver stuff to us.
Right, and it goes back kind of what I was talking about earlier. We don't want to use people. So
right.
If you're not offering anything to help others, then this is probably not going to work very well for you.
Okay, and then one other thing I see, initiate your agenda. Your agenda, that would just simply be my plans or my goals. That's what we mean by agenda there. So, and then line 11, Naomi.
Well, with limited time to network, Samantha Fitzgerald, the Florida tax attorney that we met yesterday, she went that route. In other words, she did what Meshel just suggested that we do.
Right. This is a great example, one we can all use. She joined a professional resource group of 10, probably other attorneys, people just like her. And it's really simple. They just meet for 1 hour midday, maybe a lunch or something. Might be a very simple thing, just a casual lunch. Everybody meet at the restaurant twice, maybe every other week or something like that. And and what is the idea of them meeting, Brandon?
Well, the idea is to refer each other business, is okay. What she says. And so, again, they're just trying to help each other out. Maybe one person can help the other person get some business and vice versa.
Okay.
I'm thinking, for example, if these are all attorneys or lawyers with different specialties in law, maybe one person will say, oh, someone called me about this case, but it's not really my area of expertise. Maybe
right.
You could take that one. Do you have anything that might work better for me?
Exactly.
And then, again, this is what we call mutually beneficial. It's good for everyone. It's helping everyone.
Okay. And then the last section asks a very relevant question, Winnie.
Do you want to make career connections within your profession, win new business, or gain name recognition? And so, again, we're talking about being time efficient, but also figuring out which jobs and what your purpose is in making these connections.
Basically, what's your goal, right?
Mm-hmm.
any of these things can be a great goal, and
right.
maybe all of them are true for you, and all of them, networking can help you, but you have to know what that goal is going
right.
in.
Be very clear. What is your goal? Why am I meeting with these people? And what do I hope to accomplish? And also, what do I bring to the table? We've got day three of this article. Come on back and join us then. Till then, it's Bill.
And Brandon.
Naomi.
And Winnie.
Saying goodbye.
Goodbye.
That's the end of Sunday's special edition of English Evening. On behalf of our editor-in-chief, Alan Wong, and editor, Gu Hui, thank you so much for listening. Bye for now.
表为您报时，传承经典工艺，启迪非凡创意。瑞士天梭表，时间任你穿梭。